Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read two verses this morning in Galatians chapter 5. That's verse 22 and verse 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Now, I'll read aloud as you read silently this morning. So as you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Bible as we read from the Word of God this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23. Starting at verse 22, Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let's pray together now, Father. Thank you for the Word of God as we read it. Thank you for all the special music and the songs and hymns we've sung. But this is what it's really all about. And that's the preaching of the Word of God. Now, Father, speak to our hearts today. Help us to be better Christians today by hearing and heeding what the preacher tells us today. God, speak to our hearts. We want to increase the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So help us to hear and do today. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him to help us. And then, Father, lastly, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle that today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated in our day and age in which we live today, we ask you every Sunday before the preaching starts to turn your cell phone off. So make sure it's turned off or to vibrate, please, very much. We would appreciate that. The ushers have great big clubs, prehistoric clubs with them. And if your cell phone goes off, they will come down and beat on you with one of those clubs. And so that would be terrible. I know your neighbors don't want to get your blood all over them. So help us, please, and turn off your cell phone or turn it to vibrate. Thank you very much. We had an interruption in our series on the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the person and the working of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday was our 30th anniversary, so the occasion required an interruption. I want to get back to that. There's a lot of misunderstanding about the work and person of the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's not the lesser member of the Trinity. He is equal to the Father and the Son. He's God the Holy Spirit. Jesus attributed personhood to him. In John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus kept referring to him as he and him, etc. Also, we know this. The Holy Spirit is the agency, the personage of God on this earth today. Jesus said in those Gospels of John 14 and 15 and 16, he said, it's needful for me that I go away. For if I go not away, the Spirit of the Comforter will not come. So Jesus left us, but the Spirit of God came. And now the Spirit of God indwells the body of the believer. Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says, He is our seal. When we believe and trust Christ, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of us. And He stays. He is permanent resident. He is the seal and the security of your salvation. That's why you cannot get out of salvation. There's nothing you can do. Because you'd have to make God leave, and He does not. He's the seal. So He's seal, security, of our salvation. And now the believer walks today with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God inside of them. Now then, he desires, once he indwells us, which takes salvation. Again, you have to receive Christ as your Savior first to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, it's so interesting to me how many of the cults and false religions talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Many of them speak of tongues and speaking in tongues and all these kind of things. We'll get to the gifts of the Spirit in another message. These cults and false religions talk about speaking in tongues and the working of the Holy Spirit, and they don't even have the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's a false work. That's not the Holy Spirit of God. Salvation comes by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is done by faith in Christ alone. His finished work. He died for you on the cross. You believe He did that for you. And believing that He did that for you, you trust His payment and nothing else for your salvation, and then accepting Him by simple faith. The moment that you do that, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, and He stays there. Once you are saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, now He desires to work in you and through you. We talked about the working of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. That takes place when you yield to the Holy Spirit. That takes place when you yield to His working by His daily working in your life, and especially by His working through the Word of God. That's what a Spirit-filled Christian is. A Spirit-filled Christian is a Holy Spirit-controlled Christian. It's as simple as that. And it's a daily thing. In this same passage in Galatians chapter 5, I want you to keep your Bibles open there, passage, if you would. It says, in fact, let's look at it just real quickly. There in Galatians chapter 5, back up to verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To walk in the Spirit. You notice the analogy? It's very simple. As you take a walk, one step at a time, daily in our lives, we allow the Holy Spirit to control us. That's a filled Christian. That's a Holy Spirit-filled Christian, is a Holy Spirit-controlled Christian. That happens when you yield to His working through the Word of God in your life. And then, that kind of compounds itself. You hear? Indwelt, filled, and now today we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. There is evidence that once the Holy Spirit's controlling you, there is evidence, fruit. Just like, okay, you see, I love this time of year, don't you? It's the season of fresh fruit. This is it. Peaches and cherries and apricots and plums and watermelon. Man, I love watermelon. Oh, my soul, I love watermelon. I am a watermelon junkie. My wife and I probably eat one of those things every 3 or 4 days. Big old watermelons, too. I mean, I like watermelon. Nothing. Today, Sunday, I love Sunday nights. When I'm done preaching, I go home, cut me a big slab. I mean about that thick. A big slab of red, ruby red, cold, sweet watermelon. There's nothing as refreshing as that. I love this season, this time of year. Driving down to some of our orchards, you can see the fruit on the trees. And the fruit on the tree indicates what type of tree it is and what it does. The fruit of the Spirit is the indication that the Holy Spirit is controlling you. He produces in you the fruit of the Spirit. Now then, we're going to look at that this morning. It'll be a very simple message, but I want you to stay with me and listen very carefully. This fruit comes because of something genuine that has happened. Nobody's amazed when a peach tree gives peaches. Nobody's amazed when a plum tree gives plums. You expect that to happen because that is a plum tree. It has roots in the ground that draws its nourishment, that produces the fruit that comes out on the tree. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the fact that the Spirit of God lives inside of you and is now controlling you and producing this fruit of the Spirit in your life. It's something that's genuine. It's something that's real. And it's something that will come if you allow it to take place. So if you are a Spirit-filled Christian, you will be a fruit-filled Christian. You'll be a Christian who has the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their life. So what does it mean to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? First of all, it is a product. Now look into Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Do you notice it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and then it lists 9 things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. 9 things are listed there. Sometimes we think of the 9 things as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In truth, the 9 things are the effects of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. The fruit is the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's producing these things. So rather than look at it 9 different types of fruit in our life from the Holy Spirit working, let's look at it this way. If I allow the Holy Spirit to control me, the fruit of the Holy Spirit will affect me 9 different ways. And would you see those 9 things, dear people? Every one of them we need in our lives. Every one of them. That's the product of the Holy Spirit's control. He is going to do this. The effect of His control will be that these things are produced. You don't look at an apple tree and expect oranges. In fact, you'd think that was kind of a freak of nature, wouldn't you? Or a tree, just one tree that produced all types of different fruits. In heaven, there'll be one like that, the Bible tells us about. But on earth, we expect to see one kind of fruit on one type of tree. But we know this, we know that when the Holy Spirit is controlling us because we allow Him to do so, He has filled us, His fruit has nine different effects on us. We have love. We have peace. We have joy. We have gentleness. We have meekness. We have all of those things in our life. Not some of them, all of them are there. So then, what do I need to do? Boy, I need that. You know, Pastor, I need some peace in my heart today. You know, people are seeking that, trying to find peace. No, that's byproduct. Instead of seeking the effects of what the Holy Spirit's promising you, why don't you seek the control of the Holy Spirit in your life? He'll produce that peace. He will. Well, I'm trying to find peace. I go out. I remember as a teenager, you know how teenagers are. They're crazy. They are. Ask these folks who went to camp with the teenagers this week. They're crazy. Certifiable. Seriously. When it says Jesus said that He came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples were there, and there was a father there who had a son who was demon-possessed. And he said, and Jesus said, what happened here? And they said, well, the father said, your disciples couldn't cast the devil out of my son because he's lunatic. Look up the word lunatic in the Greek. Teenager, that's what it says. They're crazy. I remember as a teenager. Oh, yes. I remember how well it went. How you're going through all those battles and their struggles. And I wasn't in the will of God or living for the Lord in my life. And I was just trying to find some peace because I had all this turmoil in my life. I lived in Southern California at the time, down in Corona del Mar, just south of Newport Beach is where I worked in Corona del Mar. And there were these bluffs along there, along the ocean. I remember I used to go there and sit out on the point of one of those bluffs and lean out until all I could see was just the ocean and think I could just draw some peace from the waves of the ocean as they lapped gently upon the shore and how I had peace for that moment. But I couldn't live on the edge of that bluff. I had to get up and go back to my car and go to work and go back to life. No peace. I don't have any joy in my life, Pastor Johnson. Some of you look like that today. I don't have any joy in my life. There's no joy whatsoever. And I just need something. Now today in churches, they're hiring Christian comedians to come in and just tell jokes and make people laugh. People just love that stuff. You know what's funny to me? It's not funny. It isn't. Listen to me. We're trying to find the effects of what the Holy Spirit will produce in us if we'll just let the Holy Spirit control us. Don't seek the effects of the Holy Spirit. Seek the control of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is, that's the fruit, the Holy Spirit. He will produce these effects in our life. And you will have love. You will have joy. You will have peace. You will have gentleness. You will have meekness. You will have temperance. You'll have it all. God will give you a package of effects in your life that's amazing. What the fruit of the Spirit means is it is a product. And the product of the Holy Spirit's control is that He controls me, and the effects are these wonderful things in my life. And by the way, look at those things. Look at verse 23 of Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit means this. It's a preventative in my life. It says in verse 23, meekness and temperance, last two of the list, and then it makes this statement. Look at it. Against such, there is no law. You see, the fruit of the Spirit in my life is a preventative in my life. It will prevent, listen, it will prevent all the problems of every ill in our society. As a pastor, I do a fair amount of counseling. It never ceases to amaze me that the one cure for every problem of every person who comes in my office, whether it's an individual or a couple or a family, the one cure is the fruit of the Spirit. Example, husband and wife come in, they're having marital problems. And I ask them, so what's going on with you? And then they start arguing with each other. She lays the claim against him. He lays the claim against her. And I let them go at it for a little while, arguing, not fighting. I let them go at it for a little while. And they'll go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I'll give them a few minutes and then I'll go, okay, that's enough of that. Now look at me. What happened to you two? Sir. Do you love this lady right here? Well, let me tell you something. You already did all that. Question. Do you love this lady right here? Well, it's what? do you love this woman? Yes, Pastor, I do. Okay, fine. Lady, do you love that knucklehead right there? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Nah, for you too. She said, yes. And I said, okay, now look at me, people. What happened here? Well, we fell out of love. My favorite one is when they look at them, they go, I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. I go, what TV show have you been watching? That is so stupid. I'm going to write a book on counseling called That's So Stupid. Because it's amazing to me how people, look at me. If the Holy Spirit is controlling you, you will love like you're supposed to love. You'll get off the like and you'll get off the whether or not you care for one another. You'll actually love one another like you should. His effect will be you will love like you're supposed to love. I don't care how you grew up, the way it went. You say, well, you don't understand my past. I grew up in a cold and different family where people really didn't love each other. The fruit of the Spirit will help, the effect of that Holy Spirit controlling you will make you a loving person. I don't care if your mom and dad were cold as fish. I don't care if they never treated you right and you got dumped so many times you felt like garbage. It doesn't make any difference. You hear me this morning. I say unto you that the fruit of the Spirit is a preventative. It'll prevent every problem in our lives and it'll fix every problem in our lives. Every one of them. I like to watch people's faces when I'm driving to church. They're always going the other way, so I want to see what they look like. Even when they're pulling a boat that costs $30,000, they don't look happy. Because they got to put gas in that stupid thing at $4.50 a gallon. It's pretty rough. I just like to watch their faces. You know, it's very seldom I ever see somebody going the opposite way of church who's smiling, laughing, and having a good time. Then I always look in the rearview mirror to make sure I'm smiling. So if you see me driving to church, I'm like this. It's like when you're pulling out into traffic and someone doesn't turn their turn signal on. And then they turn, you go, what an idiot. You pull out and you go, I don't have mine on either. Oh, okay. we just want to be happy. Got a better substitute than that. How about joy? Joy in the Bible is a settled contentment that everything's going to be okay. And you don't have to laugh to have that. But you do have to have the Holy Spirit controlling your life. And if he does, the effect is you will have joy. Some of you folks, and I know you're going to make you paranoid when I say this. Sometimes I have guest preachers who will come. We'll sit up here, and after the service is over, they'll say, can I just ask you a question? That one person right there, they sure seem like they have a burden. And we get burdens, don't we? We have them, don't we? I say, yeah, they're kind of going through it right now. They're in a real valley in their life. Like other folks, seriously, laugh, cry, smile, do something. They seem to have no joy in their life. And again, joy does not mean you laugh all the time. If you laugh all the time, you're on medication or you're riding in the car with me going to church. Okay, one or the other. Something's up. You can't love, you can't find joy, you can't find peace. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Do you see that one temperance there? We're not going to go through all of them this morning. See the word temperance in verse 23? You know what temperance is? Self-control. Literally, it means controlling your passions. How many of you got trouble with your temper? Put your fat hand up in the air like that. Let me see you. Okay, good. Now, for the rest of you liars. Everybody has some degree of control problem with their temper. Would you agree? Passions in our life. You're kind of the person who enters every room mouth first. You don't engage your brain before you put your mouth in gear. Control over habits, things in our life. Now, I'm telling you, folks, look at me. That right there, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit controlling me in my life will prevent every problem and cure anything I have. It'll fix it. God will do it with just one thing. Just that. I don't understand Christians say, well, I just can't seem to get control of my smoking or my drinking or my habits or my mouth, my anger, my temper, my this, my that. You listen to me. The Holy Spirit controls you. You'll get all that under control. Temperance. It means you'll be able to control your passions and get things in. You'll get life back in control again. The Holy Spirit, His fruit, the effect of His control is all of these things. I say unto you this morning, it'll fix anything. Yeah, but if you just knew my childhood, Pastor Johnson. Well, I'm sorry, but God didn't give an exclusion for the fruit of the Spirit because your childhood wasn't what it should be. It'll prevent and fix anything. Yes, it will. But if you knew what's going on in my life right now, Pastor Johnson, oh, I understand that. But then you see, if the Holy Spirit's controlling me in my life, whatever it is I'm going to face in my life, He's already got me prepared for that. Because no matter what, I'll still have love and I'll still have joy and I'll still have peace. I'm just an angry person and I strike out at people. Gentleness, meekness, temperance, it's all there. You name the ill, you can fix it with this one thing God has given us by the one working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's preventative. It's curative. It'll take care of anything. Well, I'm gonna go and try and work on that peace thing. No, don't work on that. Allow the Holy Spirit to control you. When He fills you, the Bible says He'll produce a product in you, in His controlling you, that will give you these effects in your life. You don't have to work on anything but allowing the Holy Spirit to control you. So, let me ask you a question. What part of this book are you not obeying? Because that's what we're doing. We're going to talk about the failing of the Holy Spirit. That's where He fails. You mean the Holy Spirit fails? Yes, He does. Because we grieve Him. Because we quench His working. It means to put the fire out. He's still there, but the fire's not burning. See, here's what we think. Well, Pastor, if I start obeying the Bible, I got to change my entire life. Well, then I suppose your entire life must need changing then. Well, I have to just, that means I got to turn everything upside down. Then it must all need to be turned upside down. But can I ask you a question? How's it going on your own? Is it working real good like that now? Where you're in charge and we go from mess to mess to mess, sorrow to sorrow to sorrow. Trouble, no satisfaction in life, no joy. Wake up in the morning going, what's this day all about? I'm sorry, but it's different for a Spirit-filled Christian. It's different when the Holy Spirit of God produces in you these things, and the effect of that is you wake up in the morning and you don't jump out of bed. I tried that once and hit the wall. You can't do that. You get to a certain age, you got to swing one leg over like that and then the other leg over like that. Then you sit up and then you figure out if you are. Then you figure out where you are. Then you figure out what day it is. Then you sit there long enough for your heart to catch up with the fact that the blood drained all the way down to your parts while you were sleeping at night. And then you sit there for a moment. Then you stand up and it snap, crackle, pop like somebody opened a box of Rice Krispies and poured milk all over you. And then you stand up and take a few steps and you get ready for your day. Yeah! Some of you folks under 50 are going, what's that all about? You come see me when you're 50. Yeah. I'm be standing by going, I told you. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't mean you just got this absolute idiotic look on your face like there's nothing wrong in this world. But on the other hand, dear people, you do find joy and peace. You do know what it means in your life because you don't find it. God produces it in you. It's a preventative and it's a curative. Allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Have you ever noticed you put a peach seed in the ground and 2 days later you got peaches? Huh? So that takes a long time for that seed to turn into fruit. Why do you think that the fruit of the Spirit is going to be produced in a 5-second devotional booklet? Where you just open the Bible, you read like 2 verses, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God completely controls your life. Why do you think it's that way instead of you put it together on a day-by-day basis? You give it time. He'll produce in you what's necessary. But then again, that takes time. And having the fruit of the Spirit in your life also means it's a posterity. Do you realize that all fruit has the ability to reproduce itself? All of it. You know what's the best way to encourage somebody to become a Christian? Two ways, very simple. Number one, tell them. Give them the gospel. No one is saved by watching someone's lifestyle. Nobody. You have to tell them how to be saved. How shall they hear without a preacher? Someone's got to share the gospel with somebody. You got to give them a track. You got to witness to them. You have to talk to them about their salvation. That's number one. And number two, it is how you live. Hey, folks, look at me. If you look like you're going to hell instead of heaven, why would anybody want what you have? Well, I'm saved and going to heaven. Well, thank you very much for the great testimony. Thank you for the encouragement of what you have in your life. Years ago, a Jehovah's Witness guy, if any JW's here, forgive me, but that's too bad. He came, knocked on my door. Jehovah's Witness man, he's standing there. He reaches in his little pocket, pulls out a track. He goes, I'd like to give you this track on how to find happiness. Being the mildly sarcastic individual that I am, I looked at him, I said, you need to read it. I don't think that's an evangelism explosion, if I remember right, but just looked like it to me. And he said, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, pal, you don't look real happy yourself. You're not selling a good product here, you know? He said, well, I was a Jehovah's Witness. I used to be, and he named some religion. I don't know what it was. And I said, well, you just jumped out of the frying pan into the fire because that didn't help you either. Can I give you help you with something that's really good? And I tried to witness this man. He wouldn't listen to it. I'm not saying if you're smiling and happy, everybody's going to want to know what you have, but people will be curious. Now, a spirit-filled, fruitful Christian actually treats people in a loving, kind, and fashion. They do. They have a gentleness and a meekness about them. Not one of those, I'm sorry, I'm alive, and too bad I'm here. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a person who has an attitude about them that their life is in control. They seem like they know what they're doing and where they're going. Seem like wherever I go in public, it never fails. Someone will ask me. I was in the store, right next door one day. I was standing in line. I had a suit and a tie on. I was picking up something on the way home. I was standing in line. This guy looks at me and he goes, you a cop? I looked at him. I said, I am in law enforcement. God's law. I didn't say I was a cop. I just said God's. He just looked at me and I go, why? He goes, well, you look like a cop. And I go, I'm not a cop. I'm a preacher. I said, can I give you a track? And he goes, oh, phew, I thought you were a cop, man. Then a guy asked me one day if I was a congressman. Are you in Congress? I go, no, I work for a living. What are you talking about? You know, it's interesting to me that when fruit can reproduce itself, it's interesting that when the fruit of the Spirit is in our lives, you know what? It should create an interest in others. If nothing else, look at me, under the roof of your house. Please tell me you're not one of those kind of Christians who puts on the face for church. As soon as you pull up in the driveway, you go. You get out and you got the children by their hands and you walk into the church. We're all going to go learn about Jesus now. 10 minutes before that, you're in the car going, shut up! Don't make me stop this car. I'll come back and snuff the life out your body. Then you walk in the door. Let's go to Sunday school. The little kids are looking at you like, what in the world's up with this guy? Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. She got it, amen? It's a posterity. Excuse me, God produces something in you that could be produced in somebody else. It's good stuff. It really is. Christian, don't you understand? Don't try to find the joy. Don't seek the peace. Don't look for the gentleness. Don't look for the meekness. Don't try and work up self-control and the temperance in your life. Just day by day allow the Holy Spirit to control you. And as He controls you, His fruit in your life will have the effect upon you that you'll have love and you'll have joy and you'll have peace. And it'll wipe away all that mess from the past. It'll stand you upright in the present and prepare you for anything that comes in your future. You have a hymn book there. You know, it's amazing how many of those hymns have great stories behind them that were written in some of the darkest hours of the authors who had the greatest struggles, who were going through the darkest moments of their life, but then said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billow roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Spafford had lost his children and everything he owned, but he still knew it was well with soul. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Christian.